Order. Roll call, I believe we have all the supervisors here. We have one youth and governance, we have two.
Yeah, we have Ashley, she was not on the bucket, she's on the call.
Okay. So we're all in attendance. Approval of the minutes, I don't think we have minutes.
There should have been, yeah, there were three. Hopefully made in the...
Been moved to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. Any discussion or second? Seconded, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance, comment. I'll just be brief and explain why we're out here this evening. To the new committee members and to the new youth and governance, this is one of our county parks that a lot of people don't know about, need directions to, and it's the Bristol Woods Park and Pringle Nature Center. The Pringle family, who owned this land and I don't know for how many generations, donated the land of the county with the provision that it had to be a nature center county park. It took years and years for the county to be able to develop the park. In my early years on the county board, Doug, your early years too, and finally did, I think it was when John Collins was the county executive. The Pringle Nature Center is a self-supporting group that works through donations. At some times, a minor amount of money from the county, some years, no money from the county. And on volunteers, they do have a full-time staff member that coordinates. If you saw a sign when you were pulling up here on Highway C for registering your child for youth groups, there's seminars, there's... I mean, if you read the paper, there's something going on here all the time. So we like to not only support, but to let people know that this is here. We try to hold a meeting a year. We probably should do more than that. But we're going to later on be introduced to the staff here, and there'll be a little more information. But that's why we're here this evening. And I don't know. Have you ever been here?
No.
And a lot of people wouldn't know. So it's a beautiful little piece of property. And a lot of teaching goes on here. And if you pass some time after the meeting before they lock you out, you know, just take a look around inside and out. It's one of the reasons we have a variety in our park systems is something like this, you know, that that people can really enjoy. So that's all I'm going to say until a little bit later. Any committee members this evening? Any other supervisors here? Youth and governance, any comments? Nope. So we'll move on to citizens' comments, which would be to address the committee on any item, hopefully on parks and facilities or golf, and you'd have 5 minutes to speak. If there's any citizens that would like to address the committee. Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. So we'll start with old business facilities.
Can we do a brief update on the courthouse landscaping? Frank's got a few developments since our last meeting.
You know what? I just slipped up from what I was going to do. We'll hold off on that. We have an appointment that's way down the line here this evening, and it's a appointment by the county executive to the County Traffic Safety Commission, and so that Patrice Hall does not have to sit here through our whole meeting. I would ask the committee if it would be okay if we took that first. No objections? I'm hoping that everyone has read through the resume and the appointment by the county executive, and I'd ask for any discussion on that. If not, I'd ask for a motion. Supervisor, no.
So do you know what day this committee meets, and are you able and prepared to be able to go to the meetings?
Yes, I've been able to go to the last two meetings. There was one, I think, in March or April, and then the other one was just in June, and able to go to those because they schedule so far in advance. So it hasn't been a problem.
Because the very minimal is to attend the meeting obviously contribute once you're there, and make sure you're able to attend the meetings.
Yeah, the past two meetings that I've been able to go to, I've been able to give information. I go over the toxicology if we have it, I go over the injuries, and I go over the autopsy reports while I'm there. And just go over all the findings that we have, whatever my investigator, whatever they found at the scene, I'm able to contribute that part to the meeting too.
Okay, great. I move to approve or confirm.
Moved by Supervisor Noble to move the appointment. Seconded by Supervisor Nudo. Any discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance?
Aye.
So we thank you for wanting to get involved in this. We know that you're busy enough, more than likely, but your expertise on this is very well needed and appreciated.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
No problem.
And also, have you ever been here to the Pringle Nature Center?
No, I have not, but I have been over to, my husband and I went over to the bomb. And
on
the trail there.
Well, that doesn't count.
That's a state park.
Oh, no. Sorry. I haven't
here. She got to the right county.
Well, you're in Mount Pleasant. Well, we invite you to come down to the Highway KD Park, which has some wonderful hiking trails and catch and release fishing. So we'll let you know where all the parks are. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for the appointment. I appreciate it.
You can head back to Mount Pleasant.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So now we'll move on to facilities. Sorry.
There's the actual resolution. And just to note, too, that we got a phone call this afternoon that I think the resolution you guys got in the packet did not have the judiciary and law enforcement, but it needs to go there as well. Yeah. So this one has that on there.
Okay.
And then Frank's up the bat to give an update on the courthouse landscaping.
For our new member, I'm Frank Martinelli. I'm the engineering project manager for the facilities department here under Public Works for Kenosha County. One of my projects is the courthouse restoration, including the landscaping and putting in new exterior lighting at the courthouse. We sent the installation of the lighting out to bid, and Great Lakes Electric won it with a very nice bid. We actually came in a little under budget on that, so they're actually in progress of taking out the old electrical and installing new electrical. The final grading in the courthouse is done. Mike Schrant with our facilities department did a very good job with that. So that's proceeding, and it should look like we'll be wrapped up on time in September. And now in hindsight, with all of this hot weather, it was good we didn't try to rush and put something in. So if any questions on where we stand?
What type of lighting was selected for that?
Actually, it was a division of Rude Lighting, their Beta LED division. Very, very nice lights, probably about half the cost of the nearest competitor, and we got them at a very good discount because they have a program for any municipalities in Racine or Kenosha that would get them at a reduced cost.
Right, Kenosha's benefiting from that 39th Avenue tennis. Is that both on the building and on standards, or how is it set up there?
We have it, actually, I've got, I have it here. We have it in the bed. We're moving them up closer to the bed, about 10 feet away from the perimeter, from the ground up, and also between the colonnades.
Okay.
And at the flagpoles.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just
thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing I noticed when we went on a tour with the governor, the sidewalking, got pretty well devastated. I'm assuming from the equipment. Is the part of the plan then eventually when everything gets planned, they have that all replaced? Or do you have a schedule on that?
The sidewalk, the property line stops like a house actually at the edge of the sidewalk. The sidewalk's actually a city. But the county executive's been working with the city. We limited where the machinery is going in and out in two sections that were kind of the worst already, so that we we kind of, if we were going to replace just those sections, at least we'd get the best value at it. But when they looked at the whole thing, they're negotiating with the city of getting that all taken care of at once.
My only, my only concern is some of those dips. I could see people strolling there, or if they twist an ankle and we get a lawsuit.
Actually, before we were done with the exterior scaffolding and stuff, it was in the scope of the contractor Berglund to repair those areas exactly because of that. The city would not act, would not supply a permit for them to do it. Yes, they wanted to, I think, to be part of a bigger plan for the whole thing. They just didn't want to put in concrete for concrete.
Yeah, they got planned a bunch of utility work down there, but they're going to be tearing up, as I understand it, the better part of 56th Street, all the curbs and gutters next year. If you notice, just this past, it was actually last fall, they started marking all the utilities down. There's orange paint, blue paint, the water guys have laid everything out. So the city plans on redoing that entire 56th Street Boulevard there. And they've asked us actually what kind of lighting that we'd like in front of the courthouse instead of those big, you know, ugly utility type things. So what we're hoping is that we can get at least those two really bad areas rectified this year, just so they're safe, so people aren't tripping and we can snowplow there effectively. And then next year, they would redo that entire, they've asked us if pavers would be okay. They're actually going through kind of a planning process right now of how to finish that up. But this year, still the goal is to get those couple of real bad ones repaired.
Even if they just threw asphalt over.
Just
why spend a lot of money?
Right, it's going to get tore up.
But,
yeah,
but you're right about snow.
Okay.
Great. Thanks.
So Frank, on the lighting and the landscaping, did we get those bids back yet on the plant material?
We got two out of three bids. We're still waiting for a third one to come in. And when I get those numbers, I'll send them to you.
And who are we having bid?
We had Breezy Hill, Mariani's,
Schwartz. Was it both Schwartz's or?
I've got to check. Mike actually sent them out. I know it was a minimum of three.
But everyone was aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Most positive. Yes, you sent them out.
One other question.
Oh, yes.
Granted, this is not good planting weather right now. Is the intent by fall?
Maybe? Yes, okay. That's exactly the intent. That's why at the end of September, everything should be in place.
And bad right now. So.
Yeah, everything is, and you know better than I do about the planting, but it was, we've already, the facilities department down there, Ron and Patty, they put new spigots on the outside, so we bought hoses, sprinklers, had them take care of, coordinate with Mike is exactly what they need to do to make sure that stuff all grows well and taken care of in the fall.
Well, we planted all last week, so you can plant as long as you water. The key is to plant early enough in the fall. So, I mean, we don't want to wait till October.
No. There are some species, we've got the electrical going on and they're actually digging out concrete for the ground lighting. But right. We didn't want them trampling over stuff. They're in the bucket overhead crane when they do the colonnade stuff.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's all planned. There's some species that he felt more comfortable with planting earlier than later. So we're not waiting for the end to put everything in, but we wanted to make sure the electrical guys were out of it.
So we're looking at September, August? Be completed
yes.
September? What type of lawn are we putting in?
It's a sod. And the reason, in fact, we just talked about it again today, he said it would take so long for the seed to come in and fill up.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Seed is eventually much better than sod.
Yeah, that's what he said. Eventually it is. Yeah.
So we should look at possibly seeding and netting.
If we can, you know what, if it's, he was afraid that people wouldn't have the patience for it to all come in at the courthouse.
Well, look how crappy it's looked for a year.
No, you're right.
Really? I mean,
Now, we'll revisit it.
Yeah, but I mean, seriously, that's not an unofficial opinion. We're much better if we can see.
Yeah, and he even said that he was worried about that it would take a while for it to come back in, but you've got a good point.
Yeah. I mean, it's not fine, but it always weakens. All right, thank you.
Well, as long as you have the subject, is that set up for irrigation?
No, it's not. But they've got the telescopes around the courthouse and all the, we've got all the supplies to get water.
It's such a small area.
Yeah.
That you can
manage.
Yeah. So we're done with that. We'll move on to the 60th Street Tower replacement update.
Basically, what we've got going on there, Mr. Chairman, is FAA applications for the two sites. Just to refresh everybody's memory, it's the one right behind Shopko on 50th Street and 52nd Avenue, and as well as the one in Nash Park, just west of the current tower on 60th Street. Theoretically, we should hear from them by the end of the month, by August 1st. They've got 45 days to review it, so we should hear from them by the end. It's a two-stage process, potentially. Either we'll hear on the first blush that everything's cool, no problem, or we'll hear, no, we're not really sure, we're going to have to look into this deep. It's at that point, if hopefully we don't have to go down that path, but if we do, then we'll have to go down to the FAA and Displanes is where they're at, and go through kind of a presentation to make our arguments for just getting the doggone thing approved. Hopefully we won't have to go that way, but at least you're aware of that could be part of the process. City has indicated that the zoning ordinance shall be modified by mid-August. They've got things in the works already. We're not waiting for the permitting. Tower specifications are being developed right now as we speak. We're hoping to have the tower itself pretty well spec'd out next week. And we would plan on going out for bids pending something weird happening with the FAA. Even if the city hasn't gotten everything through their final approval processes for the zoning piece, we would still anticipate going out for bids in early August, just so we can kind of keep a couple parallel paths moving here. Because the lead time for an actual tower is going to be, depending on manufacturer and what's actually going on, anywhere from 60 to 120 days. Obviously, if we were to end up with something at 120 days, the possibility of us getting it done this year would start to become pretty iffy. We ideally want to have the tower constructed sometime early in November. After that, it gets a little iffy weather-wise. That said, if we do make the award of the contract in late August, early September, we can still get at least all the footings in, get all that work done. The tower construction itself is really not that time-intensive. It's only about a three-day project from it coming in on semis to it existing. So it's not a big project, and actually putting new antennas on there is only about another 3 days. So really in 2 weeks, if we had 2 weeks of good weather, you could have the whole thing pretty well laid out. There'd still be some time as far as getting things hooked up to the building and stuff. Bottom line is, we're not in a bad spot, we're not in a great spot, but we're just going to keep moving on parallel paths and trying to get it done as soon as we can. There's a lot of unknowns regarding some of the permitting and that, but we're just going to keep pushing on things and keep you aware of what's going on.
So, any questions on any of that? Move on to the Brookside Facility Survey.
Brookside, there was the two issues there. The one is complete. Well, it's complete. The contractor, C.G. Schmidt, finished up their work 2 weeks ago, right before the heat wave started up in the attic, which was a good thing. We haven't had a chance to actually inspect that work. We want to get up there and inspect it and just make sure everything is, in fact, all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted, so we don't have any issues going forward with the state. We're going to try to get that scheduled for this week or early next week just to get that taken care of. But then that part of the project, all the work up in the attic, all the fire stopping and putting in the access doors and things that meet code, all that work will be complete. The second piece of that will be remaining is the drywall deck above the acoustic ceiling. Hoping to schedule a meeting with C.G. Schmidt next week, maybe late this week, to determine what kind of game plan we want to do to address that. If you recall, They agreed to do all the work above in the attic on their dime. It didn't cost us anything other than the purchase of the access doors, which was about $2,500, because those were originally spec'd out wrong by the architect back when it was originally built. So we haven't got anything in it as far as county money. When it comes to the drywall issues being addressed, I'm confident we're not going to be able to get them to cover that all on their dime. We're pretty fortunate, I think, that we were able to get them to cover. They were up there the better part of 3 weeks, two guys doing the work up in the attic on their dime. That said, they did commit to us early on. Any of the drywall work, they would do at their cost if we decide to have it done. So there wouldn't be any profit built into it. But we're going to scope that all out. By the next meeting, I should have a pretty good handle on what we're going to do with that, if we're going to do stuff this year. Well, maybe do some stuff this year and figure out what we would need to budget for next year for doing it. Like I say, by next meeting, we should have a game plan put together for that piece of it. The good news is we haven't been cited for that. We were cited, but we got it tossed on a technicality, so we just expect to get cited for that the next inspection. But there's no clock ticking on that. That's pretty much it.
Right.
Mr. When is the next inspection? Is it yearly?
It's a surprise thing. They don't set a date, but it's roughly a year.
Okay.
So the last one in December, we know it's going to be late. Yeah,
and if it gets cited, then you got a certain amount of time. So we've got some leeway.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything else on that? New business facilities. We have a resolution. Ray will go through it here. A proposed lease of the old History Center.
Yeah. Hopefully the resolution Bernie and I put together in a way that hopefully it kind of tells the story of how we got to where we're at. We did not spend a dime to market the property yet, obviously, because we really weren't in a spot to do that. We were still working with the History Center to get a lot of the stuff they've got stored there out. And actually somebody walked by the building probably 3-4 weeks ago and said, boy, looks like that would work for us. And they thought it was a city-owned building. They found out we owned it. Bottom line, Ron Henning and I took them through the building about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And she's got a game plan. She's got a board of directors established for Open Wings Learning Community. It's a school. Evidently, the Kenosha News had done an article on it a few months ago, I think, Joe had told me. That she's looking to start this school, which will take typical type students as well as kids that are on the autism spectrum that have difficulty communicating. And they're in the age group of pre-kindergarten to second grade. Evidently, that's the most impactful time to get the right training for these kids that you can make the biggest impact. She lives actually two doors south of the building. That's how she saw it. Her and her husband went on a walk. They approached us. And bottom line is, I know it's the administration's feeling, and I believe it's the board talking with the chairman for sure. The county's intent would be to sell the property really long term. That would be our goal. We looked at this as we didn't spend any money having to market this. It's really a pretty complex piece of property to market because you've got the historical house built in roughly 1899. You got the 1975 addition that was bolted on that really is institutional construction. It's zoned part institutional right now, so you can't sell it as zoned for a residential. In fact, in talking with the city just to get a little background on this, to get the zoning changed with things the way they are now would be a pretty complex process because there's really two sets of rules given the two types of construction on the property. So, bottom line, the way I'm looking at this is kind of manna from heaven. They came to us, if we could work this out for a year, and they could actually get in there and operate, get their school started up. Once they become an operational entity, there are other funding sources that become available to them that aren't available to them now when they only exist on paper. So the hope would be that if we could work out a one-year lease with them. In the meantime, at least they're paying the utilities that we would have to have in the building. They're giving us a little money that would cover some of the maintenance on the building. They could get their entity up and going, and hopefully over the course of next year, we could negotiate a sale with them. I was hoping that they'd be able to make it tonight, but she had called me Kim. She has a hyphenated Puffer Axles. Yeah. She couldn't make it at the last minute. There was some stuff going on at her house, and some of the other board members were unable to make it tonight. But basically the resolution outlines what it is they'd like to do with it. I'm looking at it as it's a good opportunity for us to help cover some of our costs in the interim. The lease has drawn up, literally, it was drawn up, Bernie and I worked on that like the week before last, because both of us went on vacation last week. So it's pretty basic. It may not read exactly to the letter what is here. I think the general intent of what is here, I mean, they haven't signed off on it or anything, so there's still a little bit of negotiation that has to take place, but I think that it's whatever, if we end up with a document, it's not going to deviate largely from this, and we can certainly bring back whatever the final document is to the committee for review. But she wants to get to a point where they can open the school up Labor Day and start the school year in a normal September type setting, and they'd have some prep work to do. So that's how it came together pretty quickly. Dollar amount, as far as the lease, what we came up there was, again, talking to some of the folks at the city, given the unique nature of the property, they said anywhere from $5 to $10 a square foot is kind of a rental for this, as long as they cover the, that's net of the utilities, they'd have to cover the utilities. There would be no property taxes. That was kind of a goofy question, too, because obviously when we own it, there aren't any property taxes, but when you lease it, public entity to a private, it was confirmed that still is there is no property taxes involved. So that's the $20,314. That's literally the 2,902 square feet. The first floor is what they use. At $7 is what we use to plug in the numbers.
Who would maintain the upper floor?
The upper floors would be closed off to them. We'd have to kind of create some type of barrier so that they would not use those. And we closed down the utilities. We were just talking about that today, Ron and I, as far as how we cut utility, or not cut them, but reduce the utilities to those areas.
We have to heat it all.
Right. Have to heat it minimally, but at least keep it down.
So what we did with this property over the years is lessen its value as a historical building by putting on the addition that was put on in 1975. And then by having the type of zoning that we have with that addition and with the, what could possibly be a family home, the updates that would need to be done with washrooms and plumbing and different things are very cost prohibitive. When you look at the value of it, where people were thinking, $500,000-$600,000. Actual value, today's market with what you'd have to do there is closer to $200,000.
It could be that low.
So, I mean, I personally think so that we can sit and figure out what we're going to do, or if we can help this school from the ground up and they can get healthy enough to buy the building, I personally think this one-year lease is a very smart move. So we'll open up the discussion here. Do I agree?
Do we have any precedent as a county for leasing to other entities, or is this kind of a trailblazing run here?
The only place would be in parks, John. If we had anything where we leased, like a long-term lease, not just like a monthly...
Well, Kemper Center.
Well, Kemper Center is a... And this, right? But we don't have a lease per se.
Kemper's the best example.
Kemper, probably the best example.
So this is trailblazing in some sense that we're leasing to a quote unquote private entity.
It may not be completely, because I know, like at the job center, there's space down there that we own that we lease to contract, but typically those are contract agencies doing work for as a subcontractor of the county. So again, it is. Somewhat unique.
My point being is it might be good to have someone, no disrespect to yourself and Bernie, but it might be good to have someone who has a little bit different perspective just look at this contract, proposed contract, and say, okay, I agree with this. This could be made different. You know, if you're just doing something for the first time, sometimes there are things that could be ferreted out that would be important. So I would encourage
this in some regard. Well, I mean, the biggest case that we have of this is the safety building.
Right.
With the county, the courthouse, the state patrol. I mean, no, this isn't even close to the first time we've done it. So.
That's true.
Supervisor Newell?
We've been talking about 1-year lease, but technically, I say this is a two-year lease, because the tenant has an option to extend it from 1 year. So in reality, it's a two-year lease.
The intent, I can tell you, is for it to be a one-year lease. And if Bernie put in a standard boiler language like that, that it could be extended for a second year, I thought that the specific dates of, at least in the resolution,
in the body, I think it says maybe simply 60 or 90-day notice. I thought I read that.
Yeah, on page one, it just says in there that the tenant shall have the right to exercise the renewal as long as they give a 90-day notice prior to expiration. They can just ask them to pay. So in reality, it's a two-year lease. That's in the way we're going to look at it.
Yeah. I like to say, Dave, I defer because you've got expertise in these matters. The key in that first paragraph under the term is that it's from the first day of August 2012 to the 31st day of July of next year. The intent is for it to be, but like you say,
okay,
it could be,
maybe the next
right, it's renewable, paragraph. It could
that's,
be renewable.
That's what yeah. it is. No. Now, the building has been vacant for a couple, few months, right?
Yeah. Core Council moved on about December.
Okay, and there was nothing done trying to market the property or to sell the property. It seems like we have so many properties in Chicago, which I was, we're supposed to get a list of all the properties. So mm-hmm.
You got it.
Yeah.
Probably got it. Back. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't feel like we should be in the business of leasing properties, especially the local market, because we're competing with private owners or other entities where they pay real estate taxes. So really, I cannot compete against us when we really rent something. I think what we should do is sell it, put it back on the tax roll, start collecting some taxes. And if we lease it, it's going to be for the long term. And what's going to happen? Probably the next property is going to be leased again. We have some properties right now that we own in tax deeds, and they're too lazy or whatever to put them up for sale. We owned them for quite a while, just sitting vacant there, not doing anything. So, just for that, I think that, yeah, we can use the money. It's good money, but I don't want to get into the business of leasing properties.
You guys know?
A couple things. First of all, I prefer that Finance Committee, when they do the budget and the resolution for this, earmark this money to go for maintenance. So,
To lock it in.
Lock it in to some type of preventative maintenance or any type of maintenance for that building, because there's a lot of maintenance that needs to be done. The windows, first and foremost, if I recall from being on the Building and Grounds Committee years ago, needed to be replaced and repaired. Second of all, I know the county executive had some reservations about leasing to private entities in regards to, again, when I was on the Building and Grounds when he first took office, he didn't want to lease to the as that house on Kemper Center as a residence. I think it's since been torn down.
Yeah.
But at the time, we had a willing person to lease, and he was opposed to it. I don't know what the reasoning is. Has he been apprised of this, and he's okay with whatever the reasons
yeah.
were?
A couple of things. One, if I can address Supervisor Newell's thing first, if it would be would make the committee more comfortable, we could take out that boilerplate language about it being extended another year. So it truly is a one-year lease, a hard one-year lease, and the only way it would get renewed is if it came back through the whole process again. Because conversations with these folks, and I met with three of their board members, you know, they want to purchase something. They don't want to be in a long-term lease. I know nobody in administration, and I get the sense nobody on the board either would like to have, you know, we want to get rid of this thing, and if we can get it out of our portfolio, it helps minimize what it is we got to maintain. So if we could modify the language so it truly is just a one-year and we take out that boilerplate extension language, I would offer that. And then to Supervisor Noble's questions, that the house that was for rent there, they wanted to rent at the Kemper Center, actually needed, if I remember right, and Ron would know better than me because it was before Frank was here, but it was probably $50,000 of improvements into a shack of a house. And so the executive was against it on that basis. Even they said they'd raise the money. Kemper Report said they'd raise the money. It just was, you know, trying to make the silk purse out of the sow's ear kind of scenario. And we eventually got the money in to demo it. And thankfully we did, you know, it looks beautiful down there. It improved the neighborhood dramatically by taking those two houses out of there. So that's why he was against it, was it was going to require some investment. And even at the end of the day, you're renting it out a minimal amount of money. It's going to be like $500 a month or something. It wasn't, and that was a long-term lease situation. They were hoping to create, you know, have that as a long-term piece of the property. And it just ended up in a much better place, I think. So that was a different scenario.
I never heard his reasoning, so I just thought I'd ask.
That's what.
Anything else?
Is there anything with regards to the historical status or anything like that that would preclude or prevent them from? Because I read the wording, you know, no modifications, no anything. They're going to need to do something. It can't be just set up perfectly for a school. I would imagine.
Right.
I've never seen it, so I don't know.
The only modifications they identified so far, they had their facilities people look at it, were some treatments internally that we would still have to approve, but that would protect the windows. Because the windows are real low in there. For little kids, they have access to the windows. So there'd have to be something constructed for that. That's the only modification they would need to actually make it for their type of a facility. I think that issue's covered.
And was part of their interest in it was, now that we're talking one floor, the second floor, do they have they expressed like an interest in being able to expand or?
Not in our first, you know, we're looking at one year window.
Yeah.
If they wanted to do that, they'd have to figure out from a historical, if there's any legal, historical stuff they'd have to figure out. You know, if they purchased the property, they'd have to work through those issues. If there was ADA requirements to make access to the upper floors, that would be on them as part of their purchase. They'd have to kind of work that all into the equation as far as what their costs. It's strictly the first floor. She's got 12 to 15 students, I think she said, tentatively already lined up for this, which is about all that they want to start with. And it would just be that first floor would be more than adequate.
And there's some strict requirements on, you know, bath facilities and things like that for that population to be in that building. Pretty much are we?
We would not be responsible for any of that stuff. So if they do determine, at this point she's saying no, even though the bathrooms are not ADA compliant. There's a ramp there, but it was put in 1975, long before the ADA stuff. So, but if they do need to modify something, which may be opening a door up wider or something, and that would be in the old part, the 1975 part of it, that would all be on them. We still have approval on it, so it would be done to our specifications, but that would be on them.
I certainly concur with Supervisor Needham's perspective, but I'd rather see it sold so you don't have to. Because I see you are now the new proud landowner or landlord of this property.
That
was funny. But, you know, because I don't want to get bought down in this.
You want to get rid of it.
But on the other hand, maybe it's like one of these things where you rent down, so to speak, that you give them a little bit of a test drive for a year, and maybe they get their roots in there a little bit in that community, and they've got a stronger interest. At least it gives us a year's time to maybe market it or and like I said, pay for maintenance. I agree with Supervisor Noble on that one, Zed, because that will come. And it will just go into the general fund and never be seen again if you don't separate that out. And I think that'd be a great idea. If nothing else, you might be able to make a couple enhancements to make it more acceptable problem. But at least it's being productive, not sitting vacant. And potentially
advanced. Mm-hmm. The other comment that I would have on it, you know, the city of Kenosha and the CAVA and the county are working on trying to get people to invest and reinvest in the downtown area. I consider that downtown. And to have someone that lives two doors away and wants to start a business in Kenosha, whether it be a small business with 14 students, but it could turn into 30 students, and they could buy it. They've got a board of directors. You know, where this interest came from. I think it's in our best interest at this point, because real estate, we're not selling it. There's no interest in that building. You know what we have to do You've all been through that building. The new supervisors haven't. Maybe Gabe hasn't, but we're talking $200,000. Easy to get that to where we could separate it, market it as a residence. And if someone is that interested, that lives there, and is a vital part of the community, I think it's certainly worth a year's chance. That's, I guess, my last comment on it. Supervisor Nudo?
Yeah, one of the questions that I had is, one was a market analysis been done on the property to see what value they would bring in?
It is not. And like I say, this kind of came prematurely. We were hoping to get all the History Center stuff out of there this year and then do a market, pay somebody to do a market analysis. But at this point, you know, kind of the make hay when the sun shines kind of a thing. They came to us, and it's not costing us, it didn't cost us anything to do an evaluation. It didn't cost us anything. It gives us a one-year window. It still doesn't commit us, but by the same token, hopefully it does lay the groundwork for a sale to a viable customer.
That's true, but the property is not going to sell unless we try to do something. And it's been vacant since December. So it's been about 6 months or so, and nothing has been done lately. Also, about 2 years ago, remember just before I was on the building and grounds committee at that time, there was a lot of discussion, probably you remember, about selling
a tiny strip to even up
about
the lot
feet
lines.
Frontage, yep. Which of course I was 100% against it, and that was one of the reasons we just pretty much gave it away, which took a lot of the value out of the property. Now by renting this, again, number one is I'm against the county being in the rental business. That's what I'm looking at. This. And I think it's just a way that by doing one, then we will do another one, and we might do another one. And
I would recommend that, but
I'm just against it. Yeah. I think we should try to market the property if we can, sell it, put it back in the place.
But Gabe, did you vote for the safety building?
I'm sorry?
We rent most of the safety building. Did you vote for that?
Well, I voted against that. At that time, I was one of the few voting against the safety building. However, that's with another entity, pretty much. I consider that pretty much to be a partnership between the county and the city. It's two government agencies that we're kind of splitting, pretty much, we're splitting space.
But this woman actually might pay her rent.
I'm glad you're in their minds. That's a big thing. Okay. I'll give you that one. So, that's the way I look at it. Again, going back to the one over 10%, okay. Nothing but problems. But that also was rented to a private person. Do we want to do that?
Any further discussion? We have a motion? Either way.
Motion to approve.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Noble, seconded by Supervisor Dodge to approve. And this will go to finance, sir?
Yep.
Finance. Any further discussion?
Is there any way to Supervisor Noble's point that the rent can be identified or secured for maintenance or upgrades on that property and that property owner? Can that be, I don't know if it could be part of this lease, but because it's almost part of the finance committee's.
Yeah.
But
it would be a part of the
budget. That would be an important one, forget it. It would
be part of the budget resolution. And we could add budget time, put that into the budget resolution.
Okay, so it's not necessarily part of this resolution for this week. So
I'll add to my resolution.
He won't forget.
But we can ask finance committee to do that when they come up with what are we going to do with the, for every, you know, what are we going to do with the revenue, what are we going to do with the money? We want to do is earmark the money for maintenance. And I'll add that to my resolution, to my motion.
Do we have any idea on what the annual maintenance or lack thereof of this property's been, even ballpark? Because I guess I looked at, let's say it was $10,000 a year. We got an extra 10 getting back that we could, to Supervisor Noodle's point, maybe put towards marketing and looking at what this is occupied and get it back on the tax roll. I do agree with that. Anything we can get back on the tax roll, I support wholeheartedly. It's good and it's healthy for us, especially if there isn't some long-term plan for this property. It doesn't sound like there is. I do like the fact that it's occupied and it is a viable business that will be in sales tax and creating other activity in that general region there. So that's positive for the community, no doubt about it. I'm all for that, private sector. But being landlord, I think if you brought up another one here, we might be a little more reluctant. Because we don't want to see a trend, that's all. I'd rather see it turn back in, you know. But there's a lot of them, so don't get me wrong.
So what we could do is, at the time that this comes before the county board, we could have a number on what we spent on maintenance yearly. So that we have the full county board.
Yeah. And obviously, you can always increase that, right? Do a little more of this, a little more. But in general, if we have
what it's costing us right now, yeah. Any further discussion? About all those in favor of the resolution to send this to finance with a positive for leasing this, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Youth and governance?
Aye.
Motion carries. And the chair voted aye. Parking structure. Seems like this thing just won't go away.
It's incredible. I was just on the phone with her today, just to give an update as well as I had hoped for the second month in a row to have approval from the state to go out for bids for the last few pieces of work we need on that project. It is not. I don't have official approval yet. She's hopeful we'll have it by the end of the week, but that remains to be seen. In any event, I'm still optimistic that when we get the approval to put the project out for bid, we're still going to be able to get the work done this year because it's fairly small. Just to refresh everybody's memories, to put the control gates, access gates on the front of the, on both entrances to the parking structure, to redo some of the lighting in there to gain some efficiencies, and to address some of the security issues in the building as well. Those are kind of the three loose ends from the original project. It's not that much work. I think we're estimating the total thing to be $175,000, and I think we've been working on this 3 years, trying to get the loose ends approved by the state. In any event, I didn't want to wait around and wanted to at least bring this, not necessarily for formal action tonight, but at least get this in front of the committee, because we are going to have to come up with a cost structure for that building. And right now, as everybody's probably familiar, there is, the only thing that we charge for, because there's no access control to it, is for folks that want to reserve a spot there on a monthly basis, whether you're an employee, a metro rider, somebody else that works down in the Civic Center campus. Those are the folks that rent spots right now. There's a total of 29 or 30 spots that are reserved through the treasurer's office. I believe they're all rented right now at $50 a month. Everybody else is parking in there for free. And so, in reality, what happens, if you ever take a ride down there, if you look at the lots right next to the metro station, on any given day, there's anywhere between 40 and 60 parking spots open there. Because to park there, you do have to have a permit, and the city is charging $40 a month or $250 a day for that. And they will tag you. They don't. They patrol that pretty closely with their, the community street officers or whatever they're called. So what happens is that a lot of folks that are riding the metro head down to ours and park there for free. Now, that building, the original reason we got the grant to put that thing up was to encourage folks to use the metro. So that's okay that they're doing that, except we aren't charging them anything for it because there's no means to control them. There's no gates. So once we get the gates in place, it kind of changes the whole game down there. We're hoping that when we get the gates in, we still will have metro riders that will be willing to pay. They'll now be in a position where they will have to pay like every other metro station that exists. And the free lunch will, in fact, be over. But they can choose to park either at the city lots for $40 in an unprotected but closer to the station, or they can park in our lot at $50, which will be in a protected situation with a reserved spot. So there's a little bit of a premium. We don't have any way at this point to project how many folks are going to decide to stay in ours or move to the city. Suffice it to say, there's probably going to be some reallocation of people as this goes in, something goes into effect. But that's kind of the metro piece of it. That's the basic proposal, is to really continue with what we're doing right now, $50 a month, but just have control. So anybody from metro is going to have to pay a monthly fee to stay in. The other things we did in designing the control access, we wanted to make this thing as simple and hopefully as maintenance-free and hopefully as foolproof as possible, because I bet everybody in here has been in a parking situation coming out of a hotel garage or whatever, and it wouldn't take your little card you got from the concierge, and you're stuck there and people are backing up behind you, or you're behind somebody that it didn't work. So we don't want to create that situation on a daily basis. So what we designed was, it's access in is controlled, access out is auto. So you pay on the way in, and there's four basic classes of employees. There's for people that would go in there. There'd be the metro folks and civic center employees, police officers, sheriff's department, courthouse employees. This is what gets them in. There's one of these card readers on the thing. They wave it. They go in. For jurors, who are not going to, it's not going to be fair to charge them to go in. We didn't want to have any cash involved in this from a vandalism and a maintenance standpoint. So we've got a keypad. So as part of Becky, the clerk of courts, when she sends out her notice of report on such and such a date, you get a PIN number. It's a time-sensitive PIN number. You're a juror and you can't find parking. You got to go in the structure. You poke in your PIN number, you go in. Again, when you leave, you just drive, you get the mag strip, and you go out. And the third classification of person that would go in there would be just a member of the public that can't find a spot in the front of the courthouse or in the civic center area if they got business to do. They would then use a credit card, plug it in, and I'm proposing $3 a day, kind of based on everything. It's just a flat rate, not by the hour, not by the $3 a day. You go in, again, do your business, you go out. So it's designed hopefully to be pretty maintenance-free, pretty vandal-proof. There will be cameras on that area, though, as part of the security system. Pretty simple to administer. That was kind of the goal in how we designed it. So that's what's being, the bid specs are developed for, we're waiting for approval on to get out right now. So the proposed rates would be $50 a month, continuation of the current practice, and $3 a day, which would really be just for the general public. And highlighted those that seem to me to be kind of the most comparable to us. There's a number of ones here from Milwaukee and south of the border as well. But that's what's being proposed. I talked with Bernie. We don't have to do it. Like I say, it wasn't planned to do it tonight anyway. But if this stuff makes sense, I would then draw up a resolution that would reflect this, because it would have to go through the full board approval, setting a fee for this kind of thing. That's pretty much it.
Any discussion? Mike, Jim?
I see that the city's charging $40 a month, $50 a day, roughly speaking. But you said you saw a number of them sitting vacant.
Yeah, there's 40 to 60 spots. If you take a drive through there on any given day.
Of this 40 or 250 a day that are empty.
Right.
Do you think they're empty because, of course, it's parking-free and structure?
Yep.
If we go to 50, are we closer than those spots to the station?
No.
Or further away?
We're further.
So my only fear is you can go a little higher, right? We price ourselves a little bit out of the market in that, yes, it is sheltered. Well, it's right at the top, okay? Which is a benefit. You pay for that, right? On the other hand, you're a little further away in inclement weather, whatever. Might they not want to go down there and you pay the 40? So the city's collecting, and we're still sitting there underutilized. I almost look at it this way. If you start lower, you can always go higher. It's always a little harder to start higher and come lower.
One of the background pieces to this is, Supervisor Gray, remember when you were building the grounds, was we did a complete census of all the parking spots, all the employees, estimated traffic down there. And if some of those folks move out of the garage over to the metro spot, that won't be a bad thing to address the big picture of parking shortage down there.
Okay.
So if that happens, And we really, there's no way to project. I'm sure some will, but some won't, because in the garage, they'll have an identified spot that's theirs every day. They don't have to worry about anybody parking in it, because they do get ticketed and towed. And it's under cover. So in the wintertime, you don't have to be sweeping them closed. So who knows exactly how it'll shake out.
And I've never been in the structure. I know it's a three level.
Yep.
So maybe the top level, would you stick with the fifth gear? You might, because it's not protected, go a little lower?
We probably identify the spots that were reserved on the lower protected level.
Okay. All right. And then maybe the other one, maybe for general public, $3 a day or whatever. Yep. Okay. The other question, I know it, and you may have addressed this, I just didn't catch it. I love the control, and you know, it's simple. If most, you need a credit card. What will prevent somebody from driving in the exit?
I mean, it'll still have a gate there. There'll be a gate there.
At the exit?
At the exit. But it's just when you pull up, there's a mag strip in
that
senses your vehicle. And
fair enough. Great. Okay. Okay. I didn't know if it's that or some type of a...
No, it'll still be
a control. You know, rent the lots, you've seen it.
Yeah.
Do some severe damage to your tire.
Yeah, the strips. No. Yeah, we weren't going to do that.
Okay.
Thank you. Questions, discussion? So, we'll put...
Emphasize I've had in the past is a whole portion of Civic Center employees versus that of Metro riders in public, people who want to use the ramp. Have you given any thought to the designation area specifically as where each particular entity would be allowed to park?
Not
really. No, as long as they're reserved. The key will be now that we'll have control and we'll know who's got access via the cards, who's a Metro and who's an employee. We'll at least have an accurate count of how many Metro folks are in it. Right now, we don't have any idea. So as far as designating that's a Metro guy or that's an employee, we didn't really think.
We didn't feel that it's going to be basically just non-specified. That's your plan at this point. Will the access be for the public through credit card only? There'll be no ability to put cash in the...
Correct. No cash.
No tokens, no...
No.
And at this point in time, your best guess as to when this will be operational would be?
I am hopeful October 1st. October 15th maybe at the latest if we can get through our processes with the state.
You mentioned cameras for security. That will be something that has been done or will be done. So cameras for security?
There were... The cameras that were in there were never operated
right. So they'll be made operational?
They'll be made operational.
Is there anything in the way of a panic button, security call, that patrons could use in the event of emergency?
Yeah. There's panic buttons in there right now. I can't remember exactly how we ended up. I believe we ended up with, it's not a panic button, it's a phone. So it's going to be actually cheaper and easier that goes directly to the dispatch center. I believe is where we talked about two different options. And I believe that's where we ended up because there's phone lines in there already for the elevator. If I code you after you have one, well, we're going to just piggyback that, use that existing infrastructure because that goes to the dispatch center right now. And I think that was going to be the better way to go about it, but I'm not 100% sure if that's where we are.
So I think if you're trying to encourage the public, especially in the dark winter hours, you have women walking back and forth, children, you know, particularly, you know, they want some sense of security that this is going to be administered properly, right in the shadow of the safety building, and I would think that we would want to have a good presence that if an emergency did happen, we'd respond quickly, and it should be thought out and not left. So is it on every floor? You know, how
yep, every floor. Okay.
One location, two?
No. Two. They're by both stairwells right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. You gave the Supervisor Grady sign that? Supervisor Grady did?
No.
I saw it go right past him.
Oh, no.
So he needs to sign it. I would need to get it to somebody. It's been floating around his table for a half hour.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay.
You can cut him off.
Might have known that.
Yeah,
I know. You would have been adjourned already.
I guess so.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Chairman, just one other question. With the general public, is there any way to tell whether or not it's possible? Not to say that it will be, I'd be, I'm just...
Yeah, that will be
part of a little grandiose here, like we're going to fill the thing up, but you need to put it in, right? If they go in, no spots.
Yeah, no, that is part of the system,
okay.
Part of the software.
So it's say a lot of...
Yep.
Okay, great.
We're moving on. The Katy Park Master Plan is on here, and I didn't want to take away from the Nature Center reason why we're here this evening, so I basically just wanted it on there for the new committee members, tell them what we had done. We're not going to have a presentation or anything tonight. What the committee started to do last year was to go through this master plan. I'm assuming you both have it. There's a lot of recommendations. There was this Green Ribbon Committee that was staffed by people from everywhere. And we wanted to, as a committee, go through it, and I wanted to have 10, 15, 20 minutes on meetings to decide what we would push for as a public official and what we would aim for as our first items that we would do on these recommendations if we had the funding, you know, if we could get somewhere. First thing we did was they had two reclamation plans, an A and a B. One was to lower water levels, one was to keep the water levels the same. We met as a committee with local landowners, and I might have told you guys this already, and decided that it was planned, I think it's A, to keep the water levels the same because it affected so many people around the area. They get into recommendations on page 52 and 53, and on page 24 there's a list of exclusions that I wanted the committee to start looking at. And when we get into recommendations, what we're talking about is what could we actually do? What would be the next thing we did out there? You'll look at the entryway was very important. Well, we've done that. That was grant money. Federal highway money that we got that put in with. So we were able to open that park, and now there's people out there every day hiking and fishing. There's a long list of recommendations, and if you read through this, you'll see some of them are quite extravagant. Some of them are something that maybe in 20 years, unless you know, we were given $10 million, we could never do. So my aim as chairman here is to see what we realistically think we want to try to do next for the people. There's a big interest in the diving teams that we have that recover swimmers and drowning victims have a place to practice. That's one of the items. That's just one of the things that is here, and there's a, you know, some possible dollar amounts on doing a walking bridge across Highway KD to the state land is also in there, and that is one of these things that is just a pie in the sky thing we could never afford again. So that's the discussion as a committee that I want to have. What could we do that's not going to cost the taxpayer? We're looking at grants. We're looking at activities that bring in money from volunteers, workers that are volunteers. Last year, the Lake County Society for, what do they call themselves then?
The Astronomical?
Yes. They did two nights out there viewing the stars with people. These are the types of things that didn't cost us, bring people into the park. The dive clubs, that's another big thing that. My aim here, again, not this evening, is to have everyone read this. Come up with some realistic ideas from this plan, things that we could do, and as a committee, we could recommend to the county board. And in doing that, we would recommend to our department the types of grants we start looking for, types of public-private participation we start looking for, and the type of people that we go for, you know, go after and try to get us to help with this. the grants that we've applied for the stewardship grants are that type of grant, you know, where we acquire that possible other properties. So we want to get to the Pringle Center here this evening, but at the next meeting, you know, we'll take 20 minutes here and run down some of these recommendations. If you've read this, if you haven't, you know, if you get into it a little bit, and try to put up a punch list for the staff people to start looking at.
Chairman.
Mike?
Now, I have spent some time looking through it. Not the whole thing yet, because I want to spend some time. One of the things that was struggled with a little bit is that we start, you know, there are things here I would never support. There are some things here I think we can immediately support.
Right.
You mentioned one in the dietary. I think that that's something I'm very positive about. Because not only could we make an attraction for others to come to this area, it could start creating revenue potentially to allow you to do other things down the road. But as we start doing that, this master plan is going to start getting changed, right? I mean,
sure.
Do a certain thing. So do you have an idea of how you want to approach it? Because there are some things, and they're just so far out, I was never supportive. I don't look at parks the way that this whole plan has been put together. I look at it more from the standpoint of what can the general public do as far as recreational purposes. But I think that the vision is much larger than that. I'm trying to narrow it down more succinctly.
That's what I'm doing as a chairman. Well, that's what we're trying to do. Because there's some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're that's what we're doing.
And then we can then, I'm not saying we're going to rewrite this thing.
Never.
Yeah. Portions of
it becomes an a la carte type of thing, as opposed to we're doing a whole menu. You're talking about doing an a la carte. That is really how it was designed.
So should we just focus as individuals on the things that we like and not worry about the things we don't like?
I would say
because
so.
Because you go both ways, right?
I would say so.
Okay.
For one thing, if you like ballparks, there's never going to be a ballpark at this park. There's not a need. There's not a terrain for it. We built the ballparks at Silver Lake and at Brainfield. We used that money to do it, and we took care of the little leagues and everything. So this park's totally different. That's why this list is totally different. You know, the dive teams, they're really hungry to get in there. There's other people that are very hungry to, you know. But for a lot of this, there's not a lot we have to do or spend to make a lot of people happy.
And the other thing is, of course, the additional approximately 100 acres that kind of changes things a little. I don't have a good handle on the additional acreage, how it falls into this. So that changes the dynamics a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I don't want to belabor. I know we're not out here.
One more.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to just throw out for discussion that's not in the plan. I know that the pond is there for fishing. And I know sometimes in the winter, if you have a bad winter with a bad freeze and a snow, all the fish can die in the lake. And I know that's happened up north. And I see what they do in some places up there, is they put a windmill out there, it aerates the lake. So in the case that you do have a bad winter, you don't kill all the fish.
Right.
Is that something we could consider?
There's plans for,
And realistically, I mean, Dennis, you know the property better than I, but that lake, Rick, just so you know, there's a constant inlet and there's a constant outflow. So some of those lakes that have that issue with the, there's an oxygenation, a natural.
This lake, it can't freeze out.
Yeah.
Well, not freeze out. It's covered with snow and it doesn't get any oxygen.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's got constant flow. And one of the plans is for working with Gateway and Snap-on is to have a wind school type thing out there where we would have one power. They have a picture of 40 of them going down Highway KD. I was threatened to be killed if we ever did that. That was at the Century Store in Twin Lakes. So you know, that'll never happen. But no, there's a flow out there, a constant flow. So we'll move on to John, probably, with the Pringle Nature Center introduction.
Yeah, I'd like to introduce Barry Thomas from the Pringle Nature Center. uses staff now and give a little explanation what they do.
Right.
Overview their programs and everything.
Sure. Good evening and welcome to the Pringle Nature Center. Always glad to have you meet out here. It does help us with awareness. We always say we're the best kept secret in Kenosha County, so having you out here does help us. Those that have been here before might have noticed a couple of new things on the way in. We've been converting lawn to prairie out here, and we weren't too sure we did this whole big area last spring. And we weren't too sure, or last fall, we weren't too sure what was going to be coming up. And we had a spectacular bloom, if you could have been here 2 or 3 weeks ago, of prairie poppies and bachelor's poppies. It was just amazing. And I think the big things coming up out there are the blazing sarge. And I think if we got a little rain, or pretty soon we'll have another spectacular bloom out there. So it's now an area we don't have to mow or do anything with. You also notice the color of the lawn when you look at the color of the prairie. Those plants are adapted to this kind of weather, so they're doing okay. So that's one of the things. You might have noticed the bat houses that were an Eagle Scout project. And right back over here, and that was just within the last couple of weeks, this little shed for the keeping our firewood dry if it ever gets to the point we can have a campfire again. That was another Eagle Scout project. So those are a few things in the browns out here that are a little bit different. And we do appreciate your interest and support that you've given us. It does really help us out. John is great in helping us. The roof doesn't leak anymore. Of course, it doesn't rain either. But John and the staff are great in maintaining the park and helping us out, so we really appreciate that. If you follow the Kenosha News, or I think you all get the naturalist report sent to you, you do realize there is a lot of stuff going on out here. And we do have a good volunteer base, and we certainly rely on them, but a lot of what happens here is due to a natural valid man. When this building first opened, John Collins called me as a Sierra Club member, and he said, "Did the Sierra Club run the Nature Center?" I said, "Well, we could probably get a few volunteers, but to run a Nature Center, you really need some staff. You really need somebody who's here every day to manage it and to organize the volunteers and materials and keep things going." And we've been very fortunate to have Valerie as that person. She's really made a lot of things happen. And I'd like her to give you a little overview of some of the highlights of the last year.
This is a little report. We're actually doing really good numbers-wise with our public programs. We're getting a lot more people out here because the word is really getting spread out now. John's been able to get our events up on the County Parks website as well, which I think is helping a bit too. We still do get a lot of people who are like, "Wow, I live right by here and I've never been here before." We've also, John's let us do an event out at Pets, and we were supposed to do something at KD, but that was weather-related cancel. So we're looking forward to helping out at doing some other programs at some of the other county parks. We've got snowshoes now, which we had a little bit more snow, probably would have had a few more people out in the park, but you know, we keep spreading word, "Oh, we've got snowshoes," and so people are looking forward because we rent them for $5 a pair, which is cheaper than going out and buying them. We received another cost. With that, we're doing technology upgrades, and we got these explore packs, which help families who might not necessarily know how to explore nature to help them explore nature while here in the park. So they've got some cards here with different activities, like look up at the clouds with a friend, take turns telling stories about what you see in the clouds. They also include, this is a bird collar, so in case there's a bird out there, they can play the sound. There's also a frogs one in there because they love looking for frogs in the pond. Different bandanas with different games to help also aid in the exploration. a little journal so they can write about what they've seen or draw what they've seen while out there. Some bug boxes. Simple to use guidebooks to help them identify what they see out there. Of course, what kid doesn't love magnifying glass. Binoculars that are pretty, hopefully, durable. And some bug nets to go try and catch some bugs or try and catch some of the frogs in the pond. And so it's small. I've been around when my family's checked it out. They loved it. Love other nature centers. Have these for park patrons as well to help aid in that exploration. School programs, we were pretty steady, though with the second half of this school year, the numbers did kind of go down. Our summer camps this year, since I've changed the format, are doing really, really well. A lot of them are full, maximum enrollment. We've got like one or two slots left for a few weeks, and the parents always go like, "So all they talked about this morning is about nature class. So we've had a lot of people from last summer come back this summer for the summer programs, and we're seeing a lot of people as repeat customers for some of our other public programs as well. And as Mary mentioned, we've got a lot of Eagle Scout projects going on around here, which makes me very happy to kind of see this, help see this place grow. And we're hoping, you know, still become bigger and better as each year goes by. Are there any questions for me?
Do you have a normal, during the school year, but is there kind of throughout the school year, there are groups coming out here?
Yep.
Even during the winter months?
Not as many during the winter months, but we do get some that come out during the winter months. We're hoping, because we do offer the snowshoeing at one of the school programs as well, and we have a program called Mighty Acorns where the school visits here three times during the year, and in the winter months, they take care of the invasive plants. They lock the buckthorn, the rose out here.
Just a comment on the bug box and the magnifying glass in the same kit seems a little ironical.
Any other questions for Val? Barry and Val, we thank you very much for hosting us this evening and listening to all the other stuff beforehand. I always enjoy coming out here. I never get much time, and I'm looking forward to maybe a cool fall afternoon. I know I've done your trails, but the people that haven't, there's some hiking trails through here.
October 15th is our Fall Fun Fest. So it's one event that you come out for, living in the Fall Fun Fest, 11 to 3. Otherwise, you do a 5K run hike through the woods here. So if you're the athletic type, then that's the athletic type. But a lot of runners love the trails here. So the 5K and the Fall Fun Fest. The 5K is the first Saturday in November, which I believe is the November 3rd. But we've had our events right up here, so
and you can also volunteer to cut buckthorn and drag brush. If you've got a little city lot and you don't get enough of that, you want to come out. I mean, seriously, you meet nice people, and it is good exercise. And it's.
I think we're getting the goats again this year.
Do we get that for the chainsaws?
After signing,
we work. Yeah. Oh, okay,
so thank you again, and we'll move on. Director's report.
First thing is, of course, we did a burn ban on June 28th. We pretty much disbanded any wood or charcoal fires in the parks. Did allow propane grills. Really didn't have too many complaints from park visitors. I think everybody is well aware of the conditions and understands it. Did have a few folks probably that drove up from possibly areas like Chicago that got up there with their charcoal grills and were a little surprised, but they did okay with it. The Revolutionary War reenactment at Fox River, there's quite a few participants. We didn't get any large crowds, but we had folks there just steady throughout the day for the whole weekend. I know everyone that came had a good time, as did the participants. They enjoyed themselves as well. It didn't rain. It did get a little bit warm, but not as bad as it was last week. After dark in the park, the movies at night, we've been doing pretty well with those. They haven't been rained out either. We've had attendances from a low of 30 to a high of 100. This year, the ones that we do normally at Pets are being done at Kemper Center. The stewardship grant that we applied for the Katy Park expansion, I got a phone call from Jim Ritchie last week, and he said we tentatively have a grant, but they are waiting for an addendum to the appraisal because they didn't really want to pay for all that 9.4 acres. We had taken out the right of way, but they wanted us to reconfigure that. So, of course, then the appraiser says that changes the cost of that parcel, so we're waiting on them to finish that. But I think that's pretty hopeful. I think folks that aren't going to get grants are notified, so being told we tentatively have one, I think, is pretty positive. The road and parking lot project at Pets is moving along really well. They started doing the storm sewers and catch basin here the second week in June. They started by Area 4 and they went east. They're already down to Area 2 and moving right along. The subcontractor that was supposed to be pulling the curbing and doing the curbs actually was going to start today, but now he's been delayed till Thursday, so he'll be getting started on that. But again, I did include a few photos here, and they really don't do justice to the mess at the park. So if you get a chance to drive out through there, there's a lot going on. I mean, it's all good. It's just, there's a lot. Once you start seeing how many trenches they're cutting and the dirt piles and construction material, and now that's just, this is just the storm sewers. So when they start the dam removal and the bridge project, that'll be even more exciting. And then onto the dam removal bridge construction. We're still lacking one permit. We did a memorandum of agreement, which is basically a proposal of mitigation for removing the old footbridge that's right in the area that will have conflicts with the new bridge that's being put in place. I believe we probably would have been a little bit further along, but then I found out that the gentleman at the State Historical Society took a week's vacation on us last week. Of course, everybody did. And so that just sat for a week again. It is on his desk, and it's just waiting for him to look at it and say, okie doke. And, well, that sounds easy, but the county will have to do something, which is probably maybe photos to be placed in the museum and a little monument or something, recognizing that the bridge was there since it was built by the WPA. I don't see the starting now by mid-July, being that it's already the 9th. So now I'm shooting for the end of July. The Silver Lake Trail, the DNR gave approval for the bridge design. But I've been working on, this is now the third type of easement agreement they've asked me to work on with them, and I think this is the final one, but they guarantee me we'll be all done by July 20th, as will the project for the construction, the bridges and the trail be put out to bid and awarded by the 20th of July as well. So, just a note, Carthage College is conducting bat research again at KD Park and at Petrifying Springs. I believe this is the third year in a row now they've done that. We don't get the results from that usually till about in the fall from Deanna Burns over there when they've concluded everything. We had a Make-A-Wish Foundation car show yesterday at the Summers Town Hall since Pets was tore up. We had around 200 collector cars there. We had good weather, and it cooled down, had a nice crowd. It was a good time. I want to report on the Silver Lake Beach on the 4th of July, which was a Wednesday this year. We estimated that we had somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 folks on the beach over there. It was pretty busy, but it was a well-behaved crowd. Didn't have any problems really to speak of. Just typical little minor things. One lifeguard got a little bit too much sun, and just minor things like that. But no incidents with the public. The Sheriff's Department did send a bike patrol out, and they stayed out there for a little while. I think that went a long ways too. And then the final thing, I handed out the copies of the 2035 Park and Open Space Plan. That was what this committee has worked on and approved for about the last year. That's the final copy. That was required by us in order, one of the main reasons for doing this, not only for future planning, but it also gives us the opportunity to apply for stewardship grants. Without it, we would not be able to. And that's it.
Thank you, John. Any questions for John on anything? All right, thank you very much.
John, on that bridge, so when you say it's good to go, it's coming out, take a few pictures off that bridge, come in that's...
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't have to take it out block by block and rebuild it somewhere.
We're hoping.
We haven't gotten final approval. The memorandum of understanding that we sent to them is what John said. There's some photos that will be put in the History Center and a little plaque out there that can direct folks if they wanted more information, they can go down there. That's what we proposed. We haven't got that back signed up.
It could get nuts and be a bridge rebuilt somewhere else.
Has anybody really thrown a stink about possible removal of that bridge?
No.
Anybody alive that actually worked on it? No. Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay.
Move on to new business calls.
Well, we are doing very well so far this year. The golf course conditions have just been raved about, phenomenal. We have some good promotional activities, and weather is the biggest reason that we're doing so well. But I just wanted to reiterate about the Red Nine that we would not be in this financial shape that we are right now without that property, or that nine being open right now. This Sunday we did over 500 rounds of golf, and you know, you just can't do that in one day without having that additional nine, plus all of the construction projects that we did, the paving on the white and the irrigation on the white birch. You know, we used the white birch was closed for about 51 days before, and we were using either the one of the nines and the red as another 18. So it really, really was useful. Things are going great out there. The food and beverage staff is receiving excellent comments about the food at both golf courses. We've served over 1,200 fish fries so far after you guys were told for many years that we couldn't do fish fries. So, you know, in the first half of the year, we're up 77% over last year in the amount of fish fries that we've served. So overall, food and beverage is up 30%, almost $55,000 worth of business and just in food and beverage alone. All the kitchen restoration and the equipment that we were able to invest in through the capital improvements is really paying off. The dollar, I did detail out the dollar spent, and just to show you, you know, from 2010 at Brightondale, we were at $392 around. Today we're at $509 around, you know, so it went up $1.17. At Petrifying Springs, we're at $397. Today, we're at $476. You know, so it just shows that our brand is working, and people are starting to invest and wanting to stay there and spend time there, and it's paying off. Between the merchandise and the food and beverage, we're up over $65,000 more than last year. So, you know, things are working out well. Like I said, the irrigation project, 16 out of the 18 holes in the white birch are completed. We have two holes, two and three, that we put some fairway irrigation heads in, but the piping and the wires were not able to be put in under the budget that we had. So those we will be asking, hopefully, to do next year, along with the blue. But with all the dry weather that we've had, I mean, we're pumping out 950,000 gallons of water a night at Brightondale. I mean, it's just an amazing number. You know, the infrastructure that we invested in the pump house and the new pump house into the irrigation system is really giving us the golf course conditions that make people want to come. And you know, so it's great to see, you know, and great to hear the comments. But we are having some disease pressure from the hot and humid weather. You know, we started at Pythium at both golf courses. We have some Pythium. You know, it's just too expensive to spray the whole golf course. You know, we try and keep the greens and tees in as nice a shape, but you know, as we can. But we just don't have the budget to spray for Pythium, you know, at both golf courses. But we still, you know, are receiving outstanding reviews on the golf course. The paving project is totally complete. It is a continuous cart path all the way through the White Birch. We have gotten a lot of positive comments about that. The finish grading and the seating, as you spoke about earlier with the courthouse downtown, we don't feel that we can be planting right now along the edges of the cart path that we have to do, but we will be doing that starting mid-August and later on as the weather is more forgiving and it's easier to grow grass. So the roofing project at the Pets Maintenance Shop is all done too. It went real well. Calendar events is updated all the time. We have over 8,000 addresses in our email database. I hope you guys are getting our emails. The next big event started today was the Kenosha County Junior Open. Matt Beeble shot 71, one under par. So just, wow, for a 17-year-old kid, 16-year-old kid, that's amazing. And we have the Kenosha County Open this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then next Saturday on the 20th, the Ladies County Open is. So a lot of county opens happening right now. We also came out with an initiative that kids can play for free. It's at our slower times, so hopefully it'll help us out, fill some times, and help the kids out. So from 1 to 3 weekdays, Monday through Thursday, kids are invited to come out with a grandparent or parent or uncle or whatever, aunt, and play for free. Also, after 3 o'clock on Sundays, kids can come out and get a free green fee with a paid adult fee. So we're putting that in the newspaper, and we also did an email blast on that. The junior program is tremendous this year. We have over 100 kids in the junior program. We had 70 last year, and that was with the junior camp. This is just our clinics. It's Wednesday mornings at Brightondale from 8 until about 1:30, and at Petrifying Springs it's like 5 to 8:30 at night on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So kids are really enjoying it. We're teaching them all about the golf swing and rules and etiquette and the golf course. So we also had that free clinic for non-golfers this month. It was pretty well attended over at Petrifying Springs, and not so well at Brightondale, where we just went through the golf course, and here's the counter, here's how to check in, here's how to make a tee time, here's a scorecard, here's how to drive a golf car. You know, just trying to get the non-golfers, you know, less intimidated by coming to the golf course. So that was fun. And just some mechanical problems. We have had some HVAC issues with the heat and some refrigeration problems also. So we're addressing those as an ongoing, as-needed basis.
Well, Dan, that food thing is really, that's really good news. I know that you know, and people that have been on this committee or involved with it know that we've been pushing for this type of thing for years. Started out with the beer sales that everybody was against us doing. And it's like a reverse mobilization. When you have someone there, you want to get the most out of their pocket. That, and basically now we're finally starting to do it. They're staying for fish fries, and I'm still a firm believer that we get more people there for banquets and things, and I'm still going to push for liquor sales. And no matter what the political pressures are, that we've got the facility, we may start making some money if things work out here, and then just the change in over a dollar per round. That's huge. That's huge. I mean, that's really good work. And it's come from this committee and that staff really working hard at it. That's wonderful news. Any questions for Dan? Dave?
You mentioned 500 rounds of golf. Was it, did you say it was last weekend or last
just Sunday? Yesterday.
Was it at Brightondale?
Just at Brightondale. We had another 300, over 300 at Petrifying Springs. So we had over 800 rounds, 830 rounds, I think, yesterday alone at the facility.
So it was roughly about 500 over Brightondale. Because I know you mentioned that if we did that at the Red Knight, it would be almost impossible to get 500 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
But we got three under hats with 18 holes. Even without the red, 36.
It's the timing, though. It's when you fill them in. It's because you have so much more demand in the morning from that 7 o'clock until 11 o'clock tee times. You know, that's when everybody wants to play. So then they're able to do family stuff in the afternoon, and that's the way you're able to generate that kind of rounds. It's not spread out, you know, throughout the course of the day. Because, you know, people have other things that they want to get done in their day. So without having the availability of having the five nines to send everybody off on, you know, in that time frame, then you're not able to do that many rounds.
Yeah, but that would be the same thing over at Pats. So we're able to do 300 rounds on 18 holes. We should be able to do the same rounds on 18 holes over Brighton. So we double that to 36 holes, we should be able to do 600.
You don't have the population.
Right.
But I mean, wouldn't that work that way?
No.
Or am I missing a...
That's a loaded there? Question. You know what it is. You know it's a loaded question. Petrifying Springs is that, you know, between Kenosha and Racine. Brighton Mill's out in the pool.
Right.
So you've got all these old farts that go to Petrifying Springs every day. So, I mean, that's certainly a loaded question. You don't have the people at Brightondale to double or triple what you do at Brightondale.
No, but I think that it could be that we could have that many rounds. We have the people to go there.
But they don't go there. In the afternoon, they don't go there. He answered your question. The guys want to golf in the early morning. So he's loading up those nine-hole courses in the morning. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're giving golf away.
Pretty much over at Pets is spread out through or not loaded. Let's say 10, 12 hours or whatever versus Brightondale spread out through 5, 6.
Yeah.
And that's why only at Brightondale can you play for free with your kids after 3 o'clock on Sundays. That's why we staged it that way so that, you know, you can come out and have a free green fee for your child or grandchild at Brightondale after 3. You cannot do that at Pets on Sundays.
I think it's all very encouraging. We're looking at, you know, unprecedented good golf conditions in terms of, I don't know, right to the point where it could be detrimental to courses and use some more. Revenue's up for the food. It just kind of all comes together to show that your management team and what they've been doing is something to bear fruit. I've had patients come into my office, I don't know, I'm a county board supervisor, they come and they play golf right now. How was your experience? You go, of course, good. It's fantastic. We're in the middle of a drought. I mean, that really speaks well, you know, to your management. We're looking at probably approximately halfway through the golfing season, post-sports season, we're looking at, you know, all-star game coming in. When you look at just the financials of where we're at this particular point in time, can you give us a little bit of perspective to say, in terms of last year comparison, approximately where we're at? That was the first part.
We are definitely ahead of last year considerably. I mean, I don't have exact dollar figures for you. Rounds, we're over 8,000 rounds ahead of last year. You know, we're profitability, we're way ahead. We adjusted our buying so that we are purchasing chemicals and fertilizer as we need them instead of all up front. So we're more profitable on the expense side as well as on the revenue side. I don't have exact figures for you.
Are you happy with your decision to actually purchase the golf carts rather than lease them? Is that a good move?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
If you had looking at your crystal ball and you say, okay, the second half of this season is now going to be much as the first. We're going to have, again, very good playing conditions, you know, very good course. Could you estimate as to break even money-wise in the black, in the red, give a hint on that?
Well, we're doing everything we possibly can to break even. I mean, that's our goal for this year. I mean, we hopefully, God willing, and the weather stays the way it's been, and you know, we'd like some rain at night, obviously, but you know, we're doing as much as we possibly can to continue to control expenses as we have the last, you know, four seasons, and you know, everything we can, as creative as we can get to get more revenue out there. So, you know, we're shooting for that level budget.
So it's your estimate that it came down the way it's been in the past, you can see the break even this year, is that a fair impression?
I hope so.
Thank you.
He's not going to say it, Bill, so don't try to get on the show. I wouldn't say it if I were.
You don't want to curse yourself.
No, I don't want to be quoted as saying that. Any of that right now.
Yes, gentlemen, have a question.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned the kids golf green. Is it just one green fee per paid adult?
Yes.
Okay.
7 to 17. We don't allow children under 7 years old on the golf course just for safety purposes, so 7 to 17.
It's certain times, too.
It's 1 to 3, Monday through Thursday, and after 3 o'clock at Brighton Dale only.
This is a good deal.
Yep.
Yeah, I would suspect it must have, considering all the dry weather we have, must have replaced all that irrigation, the new pump hose, and all that just in the nick of time. Rather than we have significant breakdowns. We used to have all kinds of breakdowns, so we must have done it just in the nick of time, which is also probably contributing to the great conditions, I would think.
We still are definitely having breakdowns. I mean, the red and the blue, I talked to Rich today, and he says, Dan, I'm up to my elbows in irrigation problems. He said, every day, that's all I do all day long. You know, I still, you know, the red and the blue is constantly, the pipe is, you fix it here, breaks here, you fix it here, you breaks there, you know. I mean, so there's still plenty of stuff going wrong with the irrigation. It's just we're managing it better.
Thank you, Dan.
Just something real quick, but the key is that if we didn't have that pump house, if we had the old pump house yet, we couldn't put out 950,000 gallons a night for how many nights now in a row?
And
it wouldn't have, we just wouldn't have been able to refill the moats.
Couldn't hold the water.
The whole system. That part is true.
The moats were such a nightmare because of all the algae and everything, that all the sludge that was in the moats, you know, the way it was operating in the past, and now it's clear, clean water right out of Juniper Lake.
Just to piggyback on Supervisor Grady's question, we're coming on to the first week of August. Will be our kind of our next step. Is it possible that you can take a look at last year's expenses and revenues, this year's expenses and revenues, and at least just give us an idea where things are at? Because I am interested in trying to find out the changes that we've made, what has been the implication, and not just waiting until the end of the season, but let's see. It sounds positive, but we just have nothing, and rather than, well, we're shooting for a level budget, actually we should be shooting to make some money, but I understand compared to the past,
right,
the recent past, level is a significant improvement. That'd be very helpful, because I'm interested in finding out how we're tracking, just to see how that changes. Is that something that you can pull together?
We'll put every effort into getting you information for next meeting.
Okay.
We'll also be discussing, hopefully, the future of the Red 9. That is something that we had the initiative of from last meeting that you wanted on August's agenda.
Because in order for us to sit here and contemplate putting more good money after bad, we're going to have to see a change in direction with regards to the financials and the golf operations. Okay. Thank you.
All right, we'll move on. New business highways, we already did. Patrice Hall. So is record report.
There's a request at the last committee meeting for some additional information on the funding source of our three major projects on the County Trunk Highway System. The Highway K project from Highway 31 to the UP Railroad, that's under construction right now. The total cost of that project, including engineering, right-of-way acquisition, and construction, in round numbers, it's $3.9 million. Of that $3.9 million, 74% of that is federally funded and 26% is county funded. These funding sources aren't an exact science, and they kind of go up and down during the engineering and design phase of the project, because certain components of a project are participating on the federal level and some aren't. So as it stands now, it's at 74%, 26%. The Highway G 30th Avenue project from Highway E to 18th Street, that is approximately $1.9 million, and that's 100% county funds. And that project is under construction right now. The Highway C and MD intersection, that is right around $1 million, of which 75% is county funds and 25% is state funds. Those are the sources. We typically apply for every funding source available for all of our projects. More times than not, we're successful, but it depends on on what part of the county the particular project is located impacts the amount of funds that are available either on the federal or state level. Typically in the urban type areas, there's much less funding available, particularly because those type of projects are so much more expensive to build that you just don't get that many projects for the allocations to our urbanized areas. So any questions about funding? Had a little bit of a busy weekend. We were out, had to close Highway 50 yesterday. There was a fire out in Paddock Lake you might have heard about. Highway 50 was closed and we participated in that. There's been so many heat-related concrete blow-ups, I can't lose count of them all. Some fairly serious, some kind of minor, but certainly at least in irritation to people driving, and in some cases could be dangerous. So we've been out repairing those. A lot of activity on the I-94 corridor. There's been multiple changes to the ramps that are opened or closed at Highway 50 and at Highway 158. Temporary construction of Highway K at I-94 underneath the bridge is complete, so that's very helpful to have that open. However, on the other hand, Highway 158 westbound is completely closed and will remain closed until fall. The other event coming up next week is the Country Thunder out in Twin Lakes. We've had kind of a diminishing role in participating in the traffic control over the years. I do have a meeting tomorrow with the Sheriff's Department and the Twin Lakes PD to coordinate any traffic control that could be required by the county. Basically now we put up a few signs that are required, and in fact any of the work that we do participate in directly with Country Thunder is reimbursed 100% by Country Thunder. So I guess the good thing is Country Thunder is probably the best drought cure that we have in the county. It seems like every year
it rains.
Last year it rained terribly. We were out cleaning roads for 3 days last year.
It'll rain.
So it's next week?
So no, it's a week and a half, 2 weeks, right?
Next week.
Okay.
Goldfish.
Starts on.
We have a scrape or just the brush?
Both. It depends. It gets. Well, it's the campgrounds generate a lot of mud, so when people come and go from the campgrounds.
Well, we had 5 inches of rain.
Yeah, it was amazing, and that's not unusual for the Country Thunder Ridge.
But as Gary said, everything that the county does there is 100% reimbursed, and Country Thunder puts up a bond with the county. The last bond I knew it was $125,000. It might be more now, but all the sheriff, everything, all the overtime. Anything done, they pay.
Gary, are you, Mr. Chairman,
yep.
Are you heading out to the site tomorrow for your meeting, or?
To the Twin Lakes.
To the Country Thunder site.
Yes.
The reason is I'm on a planning development, and we've asked them for them to enhance some of those gravel areas especially for emergency vehicles, and I don't know if George has been out there to check. I don't. Just want, if it's next week, if you realize it's coming that fast,
yeah.
Summer's flying. But if you happen to be out there,
right.
We would, because that was part of the conditional use permit.
Okay,
making
yeah.
Sure that they get that done. And I hope you guys, if you've got them, move it up to, and hopefully minimize some of that mud.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, and I know Andy Bueller from the planning department was invited to the meeting tomorrow, too.
Okay.
So I'll check with him, too, and see what the status of that is. And that was all I had for tonight.
Thank you, Greg. Any other business?
The only thing I was going to add, Mr. Chairman, was there was a couple of items in the packet follow-up from last meeting, information request for the courthouse security. So I kind of dug up what I could from the personnel department.
And that's in the packet.
That's in the packet. And then the list of the buildings, all the buildings in there from fairly minor buildings in some of Johnson Park, small shelters and things, to the big buildings. And that's the master list that Barna updates in finance every year. So that should be pretty accurate.
Where's the Witch's Castle?
What's that?
The Witch's Castle. I saw that in there.
What's that a park?
That's
in finance. So where is it?
John can explain better.
It's everything we own, isn't it?
If you turn into the park on Highway A, down at Area 6, and you follow around and watch on the left side, right before you get to what we call the Stone Bridge where the Pike River crosses, there's a building with a fireplace kind of set way back in. There's just a little short pavilion roof over it. That's the old pump house for irrigation for the golf course, and then the reason it got its name was those pumps howled and made so much racket in there years ago. That's what everybody named it. It's been called that ever since it was put in, so.
Yes, sir.
Is that the, it's not like an actual closed off house, is it? It's just like a pavilion type thing?
No, it's part of it looks like a boarded up house.
Okay.
But it's a pump house, so.
There is one area in there that people actually did do some crazy stuff that I was there for, actually. It was
like, really?
No, I mean, it wasn't part of my group, because we were there for a birthday party, and then this other group just comes in.
The newspaper is here.
Can we talk to you afterwards?
You got a lot of color.
Yeah.
I would just stop right there.
Yeah.
Even if you weren't part of the group, but still.
You did.
Yeah, I'd like to. Through the chair, I'd like to ask Greg. I just got home. I was gone a whole week. What percentage of these buildings are being actively used? Do you have any idea?
Well, depending on how you define active, I mean, all the buildings that are on there that are insured have some purpose. Now, how, you know, obviously the public safety building relative to one of the smaller pavilions and pets, there's a disparity there, but the pavilions and pets are still being used.
They get rented.
So they're still rented, and we still insure those. Not for a great amount, as you see on there.
It's a complete list.
Yeah, that's quite a list. Yeah. I haven't had time.
So, I mean, it's like you see a little Fox River Park, there's these old stone shelters the CCC guys built. That's on that list. It's everything that we own.
And every one of these are not absolutely necessary, huh?
That may be another subject, but yeah. They are just to talk about the parks, like we're going through with the bridge, most all those old buildings were constructed by CCC and or WPA, and they still are used. I mean, I know our scout troop has used a couple of them out at Fox River that are literally...
They're all used.
They're all.
This building's on that list.
Yeah, that was from...
You know, every building is on the list.
Most of them are stone, aren't they? I mean, from back in that era. Obviously,
yeah.
The Fox River Park was all CCC stuff and after, you know. Anything else? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Newell.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Murski. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to adjourn. Thank you.